What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
Oh my God. This is too exciting.
We got the band back together.
Gang's all here. I'm so happy.
So happy.
We have been teasing this episode for a long time. Our schedules just weren't lining up to make it happen. But we are finally gonna have, it's not a debate over having kids or not, but we're just gonna share our
an honest conversation
a knockoff red table talk, a white lady red table talk.
No bullshit, no filter.
Yes,
all the hashtags,
hashtag no filter.
Yes. About whether or not we think we want to have kids or not. So
I also just want to say, do you guys still put this on YouTube?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. If you were watching this on YouTube, I just want to make it clear. It's Kelsey and Delaney. You can see they're in homes that are well put together. I look like I'm in a mental institution because I have like not decorated my bedroom. And I just want to address I know.
Oh, wait, I thought you were in a hotel. But I realized, no, you're not. This is at home.
This is where I sleep. And I wonder why I have nightmares.
It is very sterile, I will say. It is. All we can see is white.
Mm-hmm. You just throw something on that back corner, you'll be fine.
I got a mini projector.
Oh, cute.
I got a mini projector, but I can't figure out how to hook it up to Bluetooth. But like, the idea is that you project like a window or like a soothing scene or something. I saw it on TikTok.
Oh, that's so sad. I project a
That you and there are windows in here.
I was gonna say, or you could just look out your window or go outside, Taylor.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know when your eyes are closed.
You know what, guys?
Hey, you do you. I think it's great. I thought you were like gonna do like movie night in your room or something.
That too.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, it's all look, we just have to figure it out.
Well, we could not be happier to have you back on for an episode. It's been too long.
So happy. Yes.
I know, this feels like a little reunion. Although we saw each other at Delaney's wedding, but Delaney was really busy.
And wasted. So that was
not
helpful. Oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
I just, you know, we've already talked about this a little bit on the show, but I still can't get over how accidentally hammered I got. But, you know, it all
like
went
from the beginning. It was like before dinner. You came out. I remember you came to the reception and you were like, it's so fun to see everybody. And we were like, oh, wow.
She's
having fun.
That could have just been pure happiness, but I can't remember if I had a little sip or not yet.
Maybe you didn't. I just know Adrian leaned over to me at one point and went like, oh, she's drunk. Oh,
yeah. Adrian had her finger on the pulse of alcohol level. Yeah, she really was keeping an eye on it.
She lived with me for 3 years. She knows exactly when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Great time. Do you guys have any hot plugs before we get into all this juiciness?
Yeah. Ooh, so this is coming out on Monday, July 11th. I'm going to be at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin this weekend. And then in August, I'm in Indianapolis, Houston, and Spokane hometown shows. I'm very excited. So go to kelseycook.com and get those tickets. Taylor, where are you performing?
Nice. I am at the Brea Improv the 15th through the 17th of July. I am in Spokane, July 29th. Through the 31st at Spokane Comedy Club. And I am in Oxnard at Levity Live, August 5th through 7th, Madison, Bloomington, Irvine, West Nyack. Those are all my club dates. And by the time this comes out, my theater tour for fall should be announced as well. So ctonecomedy.com. Check it all out.
Dude, incredible. And hey, are you an entrepreneur who wants to build and scale a minimalist business? Just segue. No, I have a podcast. It's called Efficient Out of the Minimalist Business Podcast. It's available at DelaneyFisher.com. We talk about freeing up your time, making money, doing what you love, the whole shebang. Would love to have you over there. Come check it out.
Nice.
So cool. All right. Let's do
We're doing it. Let's get into
it. Oh my gosh. Should we get into like some of the kind of reasons like people do or don't and then talk about our personal journey?
Yeah. Well, also we have quotables.
Oh my God. That's right. Oh
because
my God. Yes.
I don't want to miss it because Taylor's got such a good one sent me. Yeah. She sent me and I just feel like it has to be shared. It has
Let's do quotables, baby.
This is slightly off topic of kids, but it's relationship based, which is, you know, the first step to having kids is finding the person you want to have
sometimes,
kids with a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes, not always.
That's right.
But sometimes. I sent this to Kelsey the other night. And again, who knows what this is from? TikTok is, if you're trying to find the source, The one that I saw was posted by somebody that's at utrain underscore. And it says, it's them eating ice cream, but written over the video is, I used to think that the higher quality I made myself, the more people would want me. Like, who wouldn't want a Ferrari, right? But if you walked up to a stranger and offered them a free Ferrari, they'd end up saying no. They'd think it's too good to be true. They couldn't properly take care of it, afford maintenance, etc. The same goes with relationships. People won't easily accept what they don't feel they deserve deep down. If you've ever asked, why don't they want me? Consider this instead of questioning your worth.
Oh my God, you're a Ferrari. Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. Yeah.
Also a very narcissistic TikTok to send to someone. Because it is implying that you think you're a Ferrari.
I'm a Ferrari, bitch.
You are a Ferrari, Tay.
I'm a Ferrari to some people.
I will tell you every day until it's embedded in your brain that you are a Ferrari.
Thank you. Who needs a boyfriend when Kelsey texts you, bitch, you're a Ferrari every morning?
That's truly all you need. Yeah, truly all you need. Kelsey, you got a quote? What you got?
I was just leaving it to you two today because it sounded like you both had some good shit.
Well, I just liked this one. This is the first one I found. And this is from Glennon Doyle. It says, when a woman finally learns that pleasing the world is impossible, she becomes free to learn how to please herself. That's from Untamed, Glennon Doyle. And for me, this is what this conversation is really about, is women have choices and have options, and we should respect and empower each other in those decisions. It wasn't really like a motherhood quote. It's just more of like, hey, if you want to be a mom, dope. If not, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
That's so applicable.
So I think an interesting place to start potentially is how we all felt about having kids when we started this show compared to now.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, that's a great question.
really good question. Tay?
Well, when we started this show, Kelsey and I were talking about this the other day because we often forget how old we all are.
Yes.
Because you guys have just been 27, 28 in my mind for the last 6 years or whatever. Because I was 23 when we started.
You were 23?
Yeah, I was 23.
Which is so...
Isn't that nuts? I'm going to be 29 God, so young. In like 4 months or something.
Yeah.
Last month
in June, we just crossed our 5-year mark of self-helpless.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and we were friends for, I don't know, maybe half a year before then?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I was a very different person then. I think we all were.
Yeah.
And I definitely wanted kids. I absolutely wanted kids, without a doubt, and probably wouldn't date anybody who said they didn't want kids.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that being a really, really big thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It was like a through line of how bad you wanted kids and babies and how you would cry when you'd see babies throughout a lot of self-helpless episodes. Yeah.
Very weepy, especially like when I hit 25 and I was in a relationship and I was just, I would fall apart at the sight of a stroller.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yes. So can I ask how you feel now? And of course, we'll like get into more depth with all this, but like so
5 years, 5 years later.
Yeah. Five years later.
Right.
Well, you know, there's a lot has happened. Breakups, pandemic. Pandemic was big. Pandemic was like, oh my God, I don't know that I can handle this level of anxiety bringing someone into the world, knowing it can be this terrifying and bad. So I think that was definitely a huge factor. I think that our generation is becoming increasingly hesitant to have kids because of the state of the world and how you know everything all the time. And it's very frightening. So I was on a date with somebody and I asked if they wanted kids and they said they were like 90% sure that they did. And that's kind of how I feel. And maybe 80. Like, I do think I want kids, at most 2. But only if I find the right person and only if it makes sense and only if it's fair to the kid, because my life is very all over the place and I travel so much. Yeah. And it's hard to imagine right now having them. And as you get older, I'm curious if you guys have felt this way, where as you get older and closer to the age where you maybe have to make that decision, you think, oh, I thought I would be ready by now and I don't feel ready.
Yeah.
So maybe not.
Totally. Yeah.
We sound like such stoners. We're like, totally.
Totally. 5 years ago. So I was, how was I 27?
Yeah.
So I was 27.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I had been dating Cam for about a year. And I think I was on the fence at that point, but leaning more towards no, I don't want kids. And I was on the fence and I was considering all that because I had just met Cam and, you know, very in love. I mean, still very much in love, but like all those ideas started, you know, kind of forming. 5 years later, we have both decided we do not want kids. Hard no on the bio kids. We have talked about if we ever
kids.
if we ever change our mind, we have talked about that adoption would be the only way that we'd have a kid. And we would not foresee that if it even happens, like if our mind changes, you know, a decade, you know what I mean? So no idea if that will happen, but that's kind of, that's where I was and now where I am.
Okay.
Kels?
So 5 years ago, I was 28. Kane and I had been together for about five, six years at that point. And I think we were both kind of on the fence, but I think leaning more toward probably not. I think we were both open to like that if it were to happen, that we would kind of embrace it and be excited about it. But neither one of us felt super strongly about having them. And having this type of career in entertainment, you do feel a lot of pressure to put your career first for a very long time, if not indefinitely. And it doesn't ever seem like there's a great time to just slam on the brakes in terms of your career and devote your whole life to raising a child, because, and I can't speak for everybody, but even for me, if I take like 2 weeks off of stand-up, I'm like, people are getting ahead, like I'm falling behind. So to really be a great parent, you obviously have to take more than 2 weeks off. And it just felt like, how am I gonna do all of that? But I was still, I don't know, trying to kind of keep an open mind. And then now I'm 33, you know, I'm obviously, Kate and I aren't together anymore. And I was in a relationship this past year where it was with somebody who, for the first time, I was with somebody who really felt strongly about having kids when he and I had first talked about it. And so it was kind of the first time that I had to get clear on what that decision was for me. Because like you said, Tay, you kind of think of yourself as like 25 forever. And then you stop and go, oh shit, I guess I'm getting to that age where if I do really want to do this, I should probably start to make some plans for that and picture what my life would be with them. So I did a really deep dive in my life to try to figure it out, because I was kind of sick of sitting on the fence. And you girls both know I would like talk to you about it. I was having conversations with family members, with friends of mine who have had kids, with friends of mine who are planning on never having kids. You know, Delaney, at that point, you had felt pretty certain that you did not want them.
Yeah.
So I was talking to you and being like, what, like, how did you get there? How did you get to that feeling of you for sure didn't? Yeah. And the conversation that I had with a lot of people who do have kids was pretty similar, where they were like, look, it is the greatest joy of my life. I am now capable of loving at a level that I didn't even know was possible. However, it is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Yeah.
And like, your life does change permanently, and you're never really off the clock as a parent. Mm-hmm. Like it just, it never stops. The second that baby comes into the world, you are parenting. And the conversation I think that changed me the most was talking to my friend's aunt who had never had kids. She actually was like pretty interested in having them in her, I think, 20s and early 30s, but she was with somebody at the time who didn't want them. And by the time she found her now partner, she felt like she was older than she wanted to be to try and have kids. And so they have like a dog. She and her partner have a dog who they kind of feel like is their baby. I believe she's in her 50s, maybe early 60s. And she's a really involved aunt. And I asked her, do you feel like your life is lacking by not having kids? And it was such a resounding no from her. It was just like, my life is so full. And there are people who have kids who don't feel that their life is full. You know, that's up to you to make your life what you need it to be to walk around and feel happy. And for some people, that means having kids and a family. And for other people, it means having pets and traveling and maybe being an aunt or an uncle. But it just was really refreshing to have the perspective of somebody who was older, because that was, I think, a big fear for me. Like, what if I am in my 50s, 60s, and I realize that I made a mistake? And of course, I can't, I don't know for sure. Maybe I will feel that way at that point, but I hope I don't, because as of now, I don't see myself having kids of my own, and I feel pretty at peace about that.
So. Yeah. I think at this point, I've just gotten to know myself really well. And if I really trust my gut and my instinct, I never wanted kids. I never had that yearning desire that other people seem to have. A lot of people might not notice, but I worked with kids for like a decade before entertainment, before starting a business, all that stuff. I also have three younger siblings. So I grew up with three little kids in the house. I was a nanny. I did all these things. I have seen firsthand and greatly respect how much work that is. And it is minute, every minute of the day you're thinking about or feeding or doing something for that child. And I remember one of my first jobs in childcare, I was around kids all day and I was really struggling. Like I had to get out of there. And I had told my boss, I was like, I have to quit because this place is making me never want kids. And I don't want this to be the reason that I make that decision. Like, I just got to get out of here. It's not for me. But one of my coworkers, when we're talking about, you know, the environment and stuff, and she's like, don't you just love it here? I just can't wait to have kids. So we're doing the same job, having a completely opposite experience about how this is making us feel. And then for me, you know, I have two dogs and they're a lot of fucking work. And I'm thinking, if this stresses me out and this is already a lot, I cannot add a human baby to the mix. And one of the exercises, I think, Kels, we talked about this a little bit. One of the exercises I did with myself is like, how would I feel if I had to take Maverick and Goose, you know, to school or to the doctor's appointment or do homework with them every day and do all of these things? I already don't want to do that. I'm sorry. I'm being brutally honest. I already do not want to do that with my time. The amount of time and stuff that I put into that, and, you know, the way that we already have to think about what to do with the dogs if we want to go out on a date or go away for the weekend, there's already freedom that's restricted. I would not want any more restriction than what I have. It's already very challenging. Also, I'm a very anxious person when it comes to the beings that I love. So when Maverick is sick or something, I'm a fucking mess. Okay. I do not do well. If they are not well, I think I would be really one of those moms who, like, you know, the kid falls down and I pass out and then I can't help the situation. I just don't think it fits my personality, and all of the things I want to do with my life, none of them involve having kids. When I picture my future and picture my life and the things I'm excited to do, they're not in it.
Yeah.
My feeling about the kids versus pets thing is really interesting because I've never wanted pets ever.
And yeah.
In the same way, like, I think a lot of women feel weirdly judged when they say they don't want children. That's how I feel when I say I don't want a dog.
Yeah.
Because like everybody wants a dog. Even people who don't want kids are like, yeah, I want a dog. Like, but I think about traveling and I think about trying to find someone to watch the dog or feed the cat or something. And a cat I would be more willing to get, but like, I don't feel like it's fair to an animal. Why would I be okay doing that to a kid? But for some reason, maybe because I feel like I would get more out of having a kid, I'm not sure, but that to me is what I come back to a lot when I think about whether or not it would be fair for me to have a child. When I go, you can't even handle, I mean, God, you can't even handle having a plant. How are you gonna have a baby? Like, it would just depend on so many factors. And I think with everything being so uncertain, feeling so uncertain, it's hard to commit to any path really in your 20s and 30s, like more so now than ever, because we have so many choices. And I think a large part of me deciding if I'm going to have kids is just going to be, what age am I and what does my life look like? You know, like you talk about your friend who's an aunt. It's like, if my siblings have kids and I feel fulfilled by that, great. If they don't have kids and I want my own, that's going to affect it. If I meet a partner who really wants kids, that might be what pushes me over the edge. Cause I go, yeah, I really want to give you that. And I want to have kids with you. Or if I am in a relationship where I can't see having kids with them, I never thought that I would be okay doing that. And now 5 years later, I've been in a relationship where I didn't want kids with the person probably. And I was at times okay with that if I decided they were the person for me and this is the life I wanted to live. But also to Kelsey's point with the career stuff and not feeling like you can ever slam on the brakes. I mean, I am at a point in my career where I feel like I can slam on the brakes for a minute and probably should, so people don't get annoyed with me posting about tour dates all the time. I just took 2 weeks off. I am crawling up the walls. I'm back to doing like 3 or 4 spots every night because I'm just like, I'm getting bad at this.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But I said to somebody about a year ago, I think, I said, yeah, if I do have a kid, like, I want to take like a year or two off to really focus on taking care of that kid and being totally present and like healing from it if I went through childbirth, or just being there if I adopted, whatever. And they said, take 2 years off, they might forget about you, which is how show business, that's how people in this industry talk. And they're not totally wrong,
right?
But like, you do have to reach a certain level. I mean, you have to be like Amy Schumer level successful in order to go, all right, I'm going to go have my kid now.
Yeah.
And like, did you guys watch Amy Schumer's documentary series about being pregnant?
Yes.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh my gosh. Cause she has, is it, I can't remember the name.
Oh, she has hyperemesis or something.
Hyperemesis. That's what it is. Yeah. That's another thing. You don't, if you want to get pregnant and have bio kids, you don't know what your body's going to do or how it's going to react to pregnancy. And watching that documentary of her on the road, so sick, like she had the flu every day for like seven months or something, and like was still touring and filmed a special. And, you know, there was another comic who had a baby, and I heard like planned labor, like just induced labor, because like she had tour dates she had to get to. And on the one hand, I'm like so impressed. And on the other hand, I'm like, this is terrifying, that the idea, I don't know that I could do it.
Yeah.
I have a, this is how I know I've really made the right decision. My life is so conducive to having a kid, like literally right now, anytime. And I still don't want one. Like I work 10 to 12 hours a week tops. You know, we're financially stable. Cam has a very stable job. We live in a space where we could totally do that. And I'm still like, mm-mm. And I always thought, well, maybe when we're in this place and I have more freedom and financial freedom and freedom of time, that will change my mind and that will be a priority. And now I feel like I'm in that space in a lot of ways, and I still have not changed my mind. So I think everything that I'm doing in my life is just confirming that I made the right decision. Yeah, I think what's tough is that when people do find out, oh, we're married, when are you having kids? Like, we get so much of that. So many questions, so many.
You're both so hot. It's a little rude not to have a baby.
It is. I think it's just like, hey,
what a cute kid that would be.
They find out you're married and it's like, you know, that's what you should do next. And so there's a lot of confusion that we have to clear up for people. And what I have noticed is that there's so much fear-based either projection or decision-making happening that people are like, well, what if who's going to take care of you? And aren't you afraid you're going to be lonely and all that stuff? And I'm like, I mean, I wouldn't want to have a kid because of that. I wouldn't want to have a kid because—
Well, it's not a guarantee anyway.
It's not a guarantee. Oh, so you exist to take care of me and to be my friend. That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's really nice if you get to that point in life and they do that and all of that. But if I'm lonely, I'll do what I do now when I'm lonely. I'll see somebody I love. I'll talk to somebody I love. I'll go take myself out somewhere. Who's going to take care of me? I'll make sure that I'm set up, you know, for that financially and logistically and all of that stuff. So like you said, Kels, it's not guaranteed. You could have a kid that isn't able to take care of you when you're older, maybe they live across the world or they're just, they don't have the means to or whatever it is. You could still be very lonely and have multiple children like that, those are just not reasons why I would want to have a child. And so when people are asking me those things, I was like, those are not reasons that I would want to have a kid.
Right.
If that's making sense.
There are Reddit threads of parents who regret having kids.
Yeah.
And that's a really dark, I know that's like a dark place to go and to think about, but there's so much shame around that.
Yes.
That like you made this major life decision and something that you don't know how you're going to truly feel about it until you have had your child. And for some people, they feel like, you know what, I love this child so much. They're amazing. But if I could go back in time and make a different choice in my life, I would have chosen to not have kids. And yeah. I am way more terrified of feeling like those people than to hit my 60s and 70s and go, oh, maybe I would have liked to have had a kid. Like, I would rather live with that.
Also, there are people who really want kids. Mm-hmm. Like want them their whole lives and then they have them and they suck at it. They're so bad at it.
Yeah.
Or they're really good at having young kids, but they're not good at having teenagers.
Right.
Or they're really good at having teenagers, but they had a really hard time when they were babies. Like you just don't know. And so if you are on the fence, I think it's so much more responsible and admirable to err on the side of caution. And not have children because we have enough kids.
Yeah. We do. And if it was the reverse in society where it was less common for people to have kids than more common, I think there would be so much less FOMO put in our minds of like, well, what if you feel lonely? What if you regret it or whatever? But if it was like this kind of if it was like owning an iguana, or something like that, that percentage of the population is who had kids. You would probably think about it. Like, do I want an iguana? And then you might be like, you know what? It's not for me. And it would be fine because you would be in the majority and you wouldn't feel so questioned. But because you end up in the minority to not have kids, that's why you get so much societal pressure of like, well, but what are you sure? But like so many people are doing this. Like, why wouldn't you also?
Also, if you're comparing children to iguanas, that might be a good indicator. It's not for you. It's like an iguana. That is a specific choice.
Oh, I'm only saying that in the if it was the same percentage of people who owned an iguana, which is a small percentage. If
how about
that
a ferret?
Was...
You didn't even choose something with fur.
I get these weird fucking TikToks in my feed sometimes that are people with iguanas. And I'm like, I'm not a reptile person. Why am I seeing this? Who? I don't get why the algorithm wants me to see iguanas eating raisins. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about this. Anyway,
TikTok's God, that's like, this bitch is a serpent gal.
I want to see an iguana
eating
a raisin.
Gal.
Oh my gosh. I totally understand, Kels. And I agree. If we were conditioned in the opposite direction, think about how many people would not have kids because it's just not the thing that everybody does.
Right.
Think about if you were considered kind of an outcast or weird, if you had a kid and wanted to have a kid, would you still do that? Would you still go through the process, be kind of an outcast societally, you know, all that to have that kid? And for me, it's, you know, it's a no all around. But what bums me out is that people hear that I don't want children and then they just assume I hate kids. Like I just hate them and I don't want to be around them, which is so not the case. I love kids. I got kids in my family. My siblings are probably going to have children. Like I love
you're going to say my siblings were kids.
My siblings were kids once. Yeah. And I love spending time with kids, but I also love not having the responsibility to do all the things that it takes to raise one and take care of one and keep one safe and all of that. I'm glad I don't have that. And Kels, those Reddit threads that you mentioned, I read all that shit, all those online communities that are people like anonymously admitting that they regret having kids. I read their stories. I read what their life was like before and after and like what they were doing. And I got to be totally honest. I saw myself in so many of those people. A lot of them were very driven women who were like, look, I'm not saying that I wish my kid did not exist. I just wish they could still exist, but they're not my responsibility. Like if they could still be around, you know, like
yeah.
they're my like niece or nephew, or yeah. I see them all the time. I still get to spend time with them, but it's not my responsibility to keep them alive forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just feel intuitively that I would deep down feel that. And I wouldn't, I know that my mental health would suffer if I had a child.
Yeah. And right. by extension theirs.
Right.
Right. Yeah. When I was in that process of, asking friends and family about their experience having kids, if they regret it, if they're happy about it, one of the other things that I looked at two different online things. One, I was reading interviews from other people in my field. And Sarah Silverman was a person that she's spoken very openly about her decision to not have kids. And she talks about that she loves them, just like you were saying, Delaney, loves kids.
Yeah.
But her perspective, which really blew my mind, she was like, if I were to have kids, I would not be able to live my fullest life. And I just, you don't hear people say it like that. People often say, if you don't have kids, then you're living life at like 70% when you could have kids and experience the full range of what it's like to be a human and raise children. For her, if she were to have kids, it would like cap her life. She feels like she can't go do all of the things that she wants to do. And that was very freeing for me to hear that because I related more to that perspective. And then another article I saw online, there's a therapist who it would be really interesting to have on. Her whole therapy practice is centered around helping women decide if they want to have kids or not.
Oh, yeah, and we have to have her on the show.
She would be great, I think. So one of the exercises that she says she has people do is she says, for 1 week, decide that you are for sure having kids. Like you just tell yourself that that is absolutely what you're doing. You're having kids and like journal about it every day. Really spend time with yourself every day thinking about what you're excited about with having this baby. Names. Yeah. Like really invest in that idea and let yourself feel it all out. Everything you're excited about, everything that you're scared about. And then for the next week, tell yourself that you're absolutely not having kids and go through that same exercise. So I did that, was journaling a ton. And yeah, I had way more fear around having kids than I did in not having them.
Wow. Yeah. So, that's so interesting. I feel like if I did that, because I've toyed with that too. Mm-hmm. And I do feel, and this could change, I do feel that I am more afraid of missing out on that level of love that you were talking about, Kelsey.
Right.
Where there does feel like there's this deeper place that I have seen. That's not true. I have a few friends who have kids, and the way the energy around them changes when they are parents, like it is like my friend, they're not gone, but they have transformed.
Yes.
You know, and you just meet them and you're like, oh, you went somewhere that I haven't been.
Yeah.
You know, like I just can't, there is a part of your life that I cannot relate to no matter how hard I try, and something I don't understand and I can't wrap my head around, and I can try to imagine it and put myself in your shoes, but I really don't know the level of fear and love and joy that you seem to have experienced. And again, you don't know because you might be somebody who really regrets it or has a hard time. So maybe you don't have those feelings, but the friends of mine who have kids really, really wanted them, tried really hard for them, always really wanted them. And it has been cool to watch people with their babies that I care about just successfully do it because it seems so scary and they're scared beforehand. And then they have the kid and they're so calm, maybe just outside, maybe they're just tired, But they're so much calmer than I expected them to be. And when I've talked to my friends with kids, they said the same thing where they're like, yeah, I'm much calmer than I thought I would be. And it's actually in some ways easier than I thought it would be, which is weird.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Cause you hear that, like, we had some really great people on the podcast. Was it like How to Mom podcast? I forget.
Mom So Hard.
Ladies were on the show. And one of them, I think, mentioned that their anxiety actually got better when they had kids because they just couldn't give all the fucks they used to give about the little tiny details of stuff. And I'm like, God, I would love to get that feeling without having a kid. Yeah. I would love to just give less fucks in that way, but maybe not actually have the kid. Yeah, but it's interesting to like say like how it affects different people.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What are some of the things that you're excited about and looking forward to at the thought of having kids, Tay?
I mean, I have three younger siblings and do feel that I have experienced certain parental feelings in my life and still feel that way as an adult. I feel parental towards them. I also feel like they're my best friends, so it's not a perfect analogy, but my relationship with them is so deep and difficult to describe and something that I'm so grateful for. And I mean, I assume it's like how I imagine being colorblind would be. Like, if you had never seen green, it's not like you'd miss green because you hadn't seen green. You'd just be like, oh, I keep hearing about green. Sounds pretty cool.
Right.
So I don't think it's something like everybody needs to have or gets, but I feel like I've had a slice of it, and I'm excited for them to have kids. I'm excited to have kids with people I love and be able to talk to them about their experience and like introduce my kids to my siblings' kids and my friends' kids and make my siblings, you know, give them nieces or nephews or whatever. Like if I'm with the right partner who wants kids, I want to make them a parent. Like, and also it seems like it provides you with a lot of clarity because I don't like doing busy work. I don't like participating in bullshit. I like pouring time and energy and money into something that is an investment. And I feel like a kid is just the ultimate investment, I guess, where it's just this is why I like being in a relationship. It's like this constantly changing, I don't want to say project because that feels gross.
Investments in iguanas that we've related
to. Well, it's just, you know, it's like your career. Yeah. You know how your career is always changing and you love your career and sometimes it's really hard, but it's so worth it. And it's this thing you're building. Like a relationship with a kid is a thing you're building. It's something that's always changing that helps you grow and get better and helps you feel like your life is fuller. But to your point, people have different goals. And if I was somebody who wanted to travel my whole life and really wanted to travel while I was younger, you know, in a very intense way, even more so than I travel now, I probably would decide that kids weren't for me and that I wanted that more.
Well, you know, what's so interesting about when people kind of say, like, you'll never experience this thing. Are you sure? It's like, you know, if somebody told Kelsey, like, are you sure you don't want to have a kid? You'll like never experience having a kid. You could say, both of you could say right back, well, you'll never experience being a stand-up comedian professionally. So,
yes,
I mean, they're different experiences. They're both awesome and exhilarating and all of that. But it's like, why are we doing that just about kids? You know, why were people saying you'll never understand the kid thing? I'm like, you're not going to understand living in my home. Like, why are we like, right. None of us are going to get to experience literally everything on the planet. So you have to really prioritize what feels right for you. And, you know, somebody told me after having a kid, like, I wanted this so bad. And it's still so hard. It's like, if you don't really want this, I don't know how people do it. Yeah. If you're not 1,000% sure, I don't know how they do this, because I wanted to be here and I'm struggling a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you were mentioning that some people actually have found that it's like easier than they thought it would be. My sister-in-law is one of those people who didn't grow up like loving kids, didn't do like a ton of babysitting, which is what I relate to too. It's like, I've never really been a big kids person in general. And she is so in love with being a mom. She says it's much easier than she was anticipating it being. But it's funny because like I go stay with them and I watch them, and you know, they've got two people. It's her and my brother. So they can help each other with baby duties. And she is such an amazing baby. I am so fucking in love with this child. I'm obsessed with her. She's a great baby. And yet she's still a baby. Like, it is nonstop work making sure she's okay. Mm-hmm. She's only 9 months old. She needs constant help and care. And I go for 2 days and I'm like tapped out. And I'm not fucking doing anything. You know, like, I'm helping, but like, I'm not the parent. And so for me, that's so interesting, because I look at it and I'm like, God, this seems so hard and so exhausting. And for her, she's like, oh, it's a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. So it's all, I think it's people's perspectives. I think it's like what works for your lifestyle and stuff. But I got really lucky that my niece looks a lot like me. So I feel like I like hit some weird random jackpot where I have the benefits of feeling like I have a baby in a weird way, because she looks like me and I love her so much, but I get to just visit and be a kick-ass aunt. I don't have to actually like do the hard work.
Yeah. I used to try to do a joke about that, but it didn't work, where I said like, I don't know if I want to have kids, so I just want to walk up to people whose babies kind of look like me and ask to hold them and see if I feel anything.
It didn't work. Like she's like a simulation of me having a baby. It's really fun. It's like a perfect situation for me.
Oh my God. It's like VR.
It's like the what?
It's like VR. It's like virtual reality where you just put the goggles on.
Yeah. Do you guys feel this way? Because I notice I feel this too, where I'm like, I've grinded so hard to like get to where I'm at that I feel like I just started reaping the benefits of that. Like, dude, yes. 4 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago.
Yes.
So now I'm supposed to start this new venture, supposed to, you know, by society norms, I'm supposed to start this new thing where I have to now like grind again and give up the freedom that I worked so hard to achieve and then start this and then be responsible for somebody for decades and decades. And I can't wrap my head around it. I feel like I just started truly fully enjoying my life. And now I have to like it feels like I'd have to give that up. And I can't. And I feel like there's one of two ways it could go. I could either love my life even more with a kid, or I could love my life less. And to me, that just outweighs the possible benefit of having one, because I really love my life and I don't want it to change. And I'm nervous that it could go in either of those directions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you guys feel about kids the way I feel about having a hoe phase, where I'm kind of like, am I going to regret not experiencing that? Because everyone makes it look so great. And I wish I was built for that and good at it. But I just think that's going to be something I don't get to experience.
But at least with the hoe phase, you don't have a lifetime commitment out of it usually.
Well, listen, right, a lot true, of people do have a lifetime commitment after a hoe phase.
That's true. Actually, what am I saying? I literally, my husband used to be my hookup buddy, and that's a lifetime commitment too. See? So, yeah, you know, yeah. But I think it's so scared. It's like, if you take on a job that you don't end up liking, if you make these other decisions in life, you can change it. You could go back. You could move. You could do something. If you make this decision and you don't like it, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Delaney always has been really good about that when I've been going through relationship stuff or like moving in with somebody or making some big life choice, where you always say, you know, you can always change your mind. You can always move out. You can always break up. You can always do X, Y, Z. And you cannot say that about having a kid. Like that's the choice. Also the sleep deprivation. I mean, Kelsey, think about when we take a red eye for one night. It is a red eye for months after that kid comes. And like, how are you supposed to get anything done?
I think about that often. That is probably one of the biggest things that when I talk to my friends who have a newborn or talk to my brother, that sleep deprivation, they're so tough about it. They're so casual where they just go, well, it's just my life now. And I'm like, no. That's crazy. Like, when does sleep you just make that a choice? Like, it's like guacamole on your burrito. It's like people are just like, it's optional. I'm like, is it? Because to me, it's still fucking sleep no matter what. That seems so crazy to me that you can survive like that.
Yeah. Oh,
man. And is mom brain a thing, or is it just sleep deprivation that we've called a cute word?
I think it is. I think it's sleep deprivation.
Because I'm sure there's like hormones and stuff too, but like you're not sleeping. So why don't we just call it what it is as well? You know what I mean? Why do we keep seeing this shit up? Your body goes through a lot. You go through a lot emotionally, mentally, all of that. And for me, I'm a person who likes testing out things before I like committing to them. And I can't test out having a baby. I like to, I mean, that's why I've had so many different career trajectories and dated so many different people and all this stuff. I have to try it out to know what I truly like. I have to be fully in that experience to be able to determine, do I like this better or this? And it drives me nuts that I can't do that with having a kid.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. The closest thing I have is like hanging out with a kid or hanging out with my dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, you couldn't name your kids Maverick and Goose.
You know what's so funny?
Protective services would be.
But you know what's so funny? When Cam and I first started dating, he said, if I ever had a daughter, I'd want to name her Maverick. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's cool. And then when we got a dog, we named him Maverick. So Cam did want to name his kid.
He's going to name his daughter Maverick?
Yes, he was.
She would be so cool. She would have a bunch of guy friends. And like, you know what I mean?
She'd have to be cool.
She would be. I think she'd be pretty cool. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Tay, I think one of the, I mean, many, many benefits of having so much success at such a young age as you have, that like what Delaney's talking about of feeling like, oh, I just got to where I wanted to be and I want to enjoy this. I feel like in a way you get to kind of live two lives if you want, because you are experiencing so much success at an age where like, you can live a lifestyle of kind of like doing whatever the fuck you want and, you know, like living lavishly and enjoying that. And you could also, I mean, we talk about my mom had my brother when she was 42, you know, like technically you could wait a long time if you wanted to and almost live two different lives, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to mention. A lot of people freezing their eggs. Yeah. A lot of people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've talked to multiple female comics who have frozen their
Adrian,
eggs.
I think Adrian froze her eggs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adrian too.
Yeah. No. Yes. Agreed. And I want to have a fertility expert on the show, because I've heard different information about the age of like 35 and all of that, and how some of it might be more, it might be later than we all realize based on like some old data and studies, but I don't want to say any misinformation, but I feel like that would be a great episode to do of like, all right, what's going on actually? Like how, you know, can you push this off a little bit or try to?
Right. My friend's like 36, I think. And she just had a baby and like had a really easy pregnancy and got pregnant pretty fast. Wow. That's not true. I think they had a little bit of trouble at the beginning, but, you know, once she was pregnant, she had like a great pregnancy and, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there any,
very possible.
Is there anything, both of you guys, is there anything that you're having some FOMO about with one way or the other that's like really prominent? When you think about having kids or not having kids, what's like the biggest thing that comes to your mind?
I guess that's more of a question for Kelsey because Kelsey's made the decision. So you'd have more of the FOMO.
Yeah.
In regards to having kids. I feel like I'm still on that fence.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. Right, right, right.
I think for me, a lot of the FOMO comes in the form of like, am I going to be older and wish that I had, because at that point they wouldn't be a baby anymore. They'd be like a young adult. Am I going to wish that I had that in my life and a relationship the way that like I have a relationship with my parents? Because that does sound really nice to have that. But I also look at my friend's aunt who she is such an involved aunt with my friend. So to her, it feels, I think like she does have kids and I hope to feel that way as my niece and potentially other like niece or nephew if they have more kids. I hope that that feeling just continues to grow and grow. So that's kind of, I think, where the FOMO comes from. And also maybe just like if most of my friends have kids and I don't, feeling like I can't relate to them as they get older and like not really being part of that conversation, I guess.
Yeah. I have maybe the opposite of FOMO in a nice way where I'm really glad I haven't had kids yet.
Yeah.
Like very grateful to not have them right now.
Yeah. Right. Right. That totally makes sense. I feel like when I think about that too, at an older age, like having adult children to hang out with, that's why I'm like, maybe I'll end up at some point adopting an older kid or something. And by that point, you know, it'll be like that kind of experience. But I think when people have talked about like really wanting a family or missing their family and all that, when I think about wanting a family and missing my family, I just think about my current family. Like I really want to be around my siblings right now. I miss my parents. I want to go visit those people. I don't feel like I'm missing the kids aspect of family. I just want to be around my current. And honestly, I don't know, like if I didn't have siblings and stuff, I might feel a little bit differently about that, but I feel like, you know, they're all pretty much adults now and that's been really fun. And I think, you know, a couple of them might have kids. So I know like that's coming for me. Maybe I'd feel differently if that wasn't part of my life. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just, I mean, God, that was such a good way to open this episode, Kelsey, asking how we felt 5 years ago, because I feel like an entirely different person. I can barely, but I feel like me 5 years ago was a television show I watched. Yeah. I don't even feel like that was me. It's so wild to think about how I viewed things and like how different my mental health was. And just like, I approach relationships so differently now, even like in the last 6 months, I feel like a totally different person. And the idea of having a child when I am still fluctuating, you know, it's like how they won't let you get LASIK surgery until your eyes stabilize and they stop getting worse. They're like, we have to know what your eyesight is before we do this permanent surgery. That's how I feel about having kids, where I'm like, hey, maybe your personality has to like settle for a minute.
Yeah.
Before you even decide if you want children. Because every time I think, this is you, you got it, I'm wrong.
What? And I bet in another 5 years, you are going to be feeling that same way about who you are now. Like, I think your 20s, it's just like a fucking tornado of change. Like you're a different person every 6 months. There's just so much growth that's happening. And then I do think it starts to kind of slow down a little bit into like your, you know, later 30s and 40s and stuff. But again, I'm just speaking as a 33-year-old. I can't speak as like a fucking, you know, 40 something or whatever. But I do think that, yeah, Tay, between now and like another 5 years, you'll feel even more different.
I can't believe you're 33. It's so weird every time you say it. When we had that realization on the phone the other night, that was so wild. I was just like, I just feel like Dustin and I realized I'm the age now that he was when I met him.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's so weird. It's so weird.
We'll have to like do this episode in 5 more years and see how we feel about it then.
But that's the thing too. And I think that goes back to a lot of what we talked about today is like, yes, I am biologically 33 years old, but I don't feel 33.
And you don't look 33.
Thank you. Shout out to Laser Skincare for keeping that shit looking young. But when I think about like traveling and vacations and even going to Disneyland, I still want to just do that as an adult. To me, the thought of taking a kid to Disneyland right now, I'm like, what a bummer. That sucks. I'm going to have to ride the kids' rides and I just want to go, you know, like I still have so much fun to have, I feel like. And maybe that's just being a comic that you feel young at heart. But I agree with you, Delaney, what you're saying, that like you feel just now like you started to be in a place where you can actually enjoy your life and like be comfortable financially. And it's just such a long slosh through so much bullshit as a comic to ever get to a place where you feel comfortable living. So to finally feel that way now, I'm like, well, I want to just enjoy this. The thought of having kids now, you're right. It would be like, oh, I just worked so hard to get here and now I have to sacrifice it all. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And having the time, like we talk about running out of time to have kids. You are also running out of time to live certain lives, to have certain chapters. I thought about that with being bicoastal, where I was like, I can't do this forever, but I want to do it for maybe a few years, a couple years, and have that freedom and know what that's like and have that memory.
Yeah, right, totally.
Right. And I got to be really honest. Like when I think about what would drive me to have a kid, it'd be like, oh, I'm curious to know what it would look like. And I'm curious to know what it feels like to be pregnant. And that's kind of where it stops. You know, it's just a little bit, not compelling enough reasons to have a kid. Hot tip though, there's those apps where you can mesh you and your partner's faces together into a baby. And I did that shit and it scratched my itch. That's all I needed. Turns out I just needed 30 minutes of that app where I took me and Cam's photos and I made all these different babies and we cracked up about it. And I was like, okay, I'm done. Now I know what it would look like and I'm good. You know,
you face mash and eat a big burrito. What is that if not a night of pregnancy?
You're basically having a baby. Yeah.
Yeah. So. You how to lose a guy in 10 days, you and Cam. I hope that the technology has gotten better since that movie. Those babies look terrifying.
Oh, gosh.
Also, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Kels.
I was just going to say, picturing going to Disneyland with my niece, of course, that does sound really like adorable and fun. I'm just saying, like, I still have juice left in me to squeeze. Like, I still go. Do the fun things.
And you always will.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I don't think you stop wanting to have fun at a certain age. Like, I think sometimes we think, oh, we're going to get old and we're not going to want to do anything. And it's like, I still see myself wanting to go have a bunch of fun.
Totally. Yeah. And I know, like, look, so many people in my life with kids, they think it's a blast and they have a lot of fun and they feel like it's even more fun watching their kid experience all these new things. And they're like seeing the world again in a different way. And they become like more of a child at heart. That's amazing. I think it's all just about like what you find purposeful for your life. You know, when I was at a social event not too long ago and somebody found out that I don't want kids. And they were just like kind of appalled, shocked, all of the above. And just like, I can't even imagine like my kids have given me purpose. I can't even imagine like not having my purpose. And I'm like, well, I feel I have a lot of purpose. Like I love my relationships. I love the work I do. Like, I feel very purposeful and super in my flow every day. And I'm glad that, you know, you found your thing and I found my thing. Like, why can't we just kind of leave it at that? But also I do feel like if your kid has an awareness that you're they are the only person giving you purpose, that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid as well, because then they're just hyper aware that every little thing they do is kind of make or break for you and your life. And I think that's something to consider as well, you know?
Well said. Yeah, for sure. Well, this was super interesting talk.
Yes. I know. It was interesting just to hear where you guys are at with it too, because I knew, but just hearing you go over the process of getting there and why you feel that way and how you feel very at peace with the decision now, because as we've talked about, I knew you guys while you were still sitting on the fence and making those decisions.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, Taylor. I didn't know where you were at. I thought you were still like 150%. Absolutely.
I'm where you guys were when I met you.
That's so interesting. Oh, and we were the same similar age to what you are now. Oh, mm-hmm. No, kind of close to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. How weird. Well, well, there it is. There you have it. Go ahead, Kels.
Oh, no. Go. I was just going to do the iTunes review.
Oh, I was going to just say, I feel like we, you know, also should say that, like, it's, you know, your decision, whatever is best for you is the right thing. You know what I mean? This is not a conversation of like pro versus con of having a kid. It's just like, you know, I think it's revolutionary that we have these options as women now. And like, let's just support each other in that way, no matter what you want to do. It's all fucking awesome. So great.
Yeah. No shaming one way or another. We just wanted to talk about where we are at.
Exactly.
And how we feel about it. And that's it.
Exactly.
Quick little iTunes review of the episode. This is from Emmy Fortin. It says, helpful and relatable. I love the range of topics addressed on this pod and how the girls always give tangible things you can do to help your situation. I recommend it. Thank you, Emmy. That's so nice.
Very nice.
My niece's name. Perfect.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. How perfect is that?
Yeah.
That's so cute.
I like when woo-woo stuff happens like that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, Tay, thanks so much for giving us your time and coming back on for an ep.
Oh, my God. It was so fun.
Yes. So nice to have
you. I'm so glad you guys had me back.
Yes.
Anytime.
Yeah, truly. Anytime.
miss you guys.
Miss you too.
This is really nice.
KelseyCook.com for tour date tickets, TTomComedy.com for tour date tickets, mm-hmm. and eFishing Out of the podcast.
DelaneyFisher.com.
Such a good name.
DelaneyFisher.com. All right, guys. We will talk to you next week. Have a great one. Bye.
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 Thank you so much for listening to the Self-Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self-Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you.